Dublin Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, March 10th, 2024, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 7, verse 2. Now, sounds like this: for the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband, is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if the husband has died, she is released by the law from the husband. And then that brings us to verse 3. Now in verse 3, the first half of verse 3 is not a part of the illustration that the Apostle Paul is using in chapter 7 to explain chapter 6, the baptism of the Spirit. But it does deal with the problem of adultery and fornication and unfaithfulness, which was very, very prevalent and widely accepted throughout the Roman Empire. Now, it is very, very important to realize, and we get into verse 3 here, that we all have a sin nature, and we all sin. And we are all sinners saved by grace. All believers in Jesus Christ sin. All of you sin. And we all have a sin nature with different areas of weakness. Some believers' area of weakness produces mental attitude sins. So they are characterized by arrogance, hatred, anger, jealousy. That's the area of weakness that they are operating by. Some believers' area of weakness produces sins of the tongue. So they judge others, slander others, malign others, gossip about others. Some believers' area of weakness produces overt sins, adultery, fornication, unfaithfulness, murder, alcoholism, drug addiction, stealing. So the first half of Romans 7, verse 3 is not designed to point fingers or to place spiritual king of the mountain, that you are a much greater believer than the one who commits fornication or adultery. And just to keep your thinking lined up with the Word of God, let's take a look at the things that the Lord hates, the things that are an abomination to the Lord. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's start at verse 16. Proverbs 6, verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, that's arrogance. A mental attitude, a lying tongue, sins of the tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. That's an overt sin. Murder. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. And a man who stirs up strife among the brethren. Stirring up strife among fellow believers is gossip, maligning, slandering, judging. So the Bible does say that there are things that the Lord hates and are an abomination to him. So let's get a couple of things here. One, the only overt sin that the Lord hates and is an abomination to him is the sin of murder. Proverbs 6, verse 17. The only overt sin that the Lord hates and is an abomination to him is the sin of murder. Proverbs 6. 17. In this passage, six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. There's no mention of booze. Drunkenness, drugs, fornication, adultery. adultery or stealing. There's no mention of those. Point two. Of the seven things that the Lord hates and is an abomination to him, six of them are mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Of the seven things that the Lord hates and is an abomination to him, six of them are mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Three, the mental attitude sins that the Lord hates and are an abomination to him are arrogance. That's the haughty eyes, arrogance. Second, a heart that devises wicked schemes. A heart that devises wicked schemes. And third, feet that are quick to rush into evil. Point four. The sins of the tongue that the Lord hates and are an abomination to him are a lying tongue, you see, when you lie, and there are, I know believers that they look me in the face and they lie to me. It's easier for them to lie to me than to tell the truth. They lie so much that they believe their lies. But who are you imitating? You're imitating the ruler of this world, Satan. He is the father of lies. He is the liar from the beginning and the father of lies. You're not imitating Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that the fruit of the Spirit is lying. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. Lying is not a fruit of the Spirit. So the sins that the Lord hates and are an abomination to him are a lying tongue, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up strife and dissension among brothers. And how do you stir up strife and dissension among brothers? By gossip and maligning and slandering and judging. And when these, so six of the seven that the Lord hates and abomination to him are sins of mental attitude, sins and sins of the tongue. And these carry with them triple compound divine discipline from God. Matthew 7, 1 and 2. So five. Now in the first half of Romans 7, verse 3, many believers in Rome are guilty of the bad decision of fornication and adultery. First half of Romans 7:3, many believers in Rome are guilty of the bad decision of fornication and adultery. Six. Some of these are Paul's sheep, living in Rome. Some of these are Paul's sheep living in Rome. Seven. They're making bad decisions. They're living in Satan's cosmic system. They've wandered away from the spiritual life. They are lost and living in Satan's cosmic system. They have wandered away from the spiritual life. And And that's why the Apostle Paul brings that in at this point in time. Verse 8. If a sheep wanders away from the flock, what do you do? What Jesus says, you go out and find the lost sheep. Bring them back. Nine. The Apostle Paul is doing that through his faithful teaching of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul is doing that through the faithful teaching of the Word of God. He's not condoning fornication and adultery. It's definitely a sin. You're not living the spiritual life. You're out of fellowship with God. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. There's nothing right about it. So Paul's not condoning fornication and adultery. But he is being a faithful communicator of the Word of God. 10. Paul follows the doctrinal principle. Privacy is extremely important. For objectivity. Privacy is extremely important for objectivity. And the Apostle Paul is protecting the privacy of some of his congregation in Rome. He's teaching the absolute truth. He's protecting their privacy in the process. So, verse 3 says, so then, if while her husband liveth, this is the particle arah, followed by another particle, un, with the conditional particle, aeon, plus the genitive singular of our friend, on air, once again, and the present active participle of za-o. Ara-un. Combination. Ara plus un. Ara, A-R-A, un, O-U-N. Ara, un, you have two inferential particles put back to back. And when you do this in the Greek, this strengthens the principle. And it's correctly translated. So then, Araun is Paul's way of introducing the divine viewpoint on a problem among some of the believers in Rome. Conditional particle aeon E-A-N aeon if it introduces this is a third class condition, if, and then za-o, which means to live. The present tense is the derivative present. The action is presented as actually being in progress in present time. At the time of speaking, this was going on among believers in Rome. The active voice, this woman's husband is alive. He is not dead. They are not divorced. She is living and committing in the cosmic system in fornication and adultery. So this woman's husband is still alive. He's not dead. They are not divorced. There's no legitimate divorce here. The participle is circumstantial temporal, and the corrected translation is while her husband is living. And the word husband is our friend on air. So then, if while her husband is living, she be married to another man. Well, I always start with the King James Version. Oh boy. This guy should have flunked. Now, a lot of the translators, did you know that a lot of the translators of the King James were unbelievers? They were. And this is a very, very bad translation. It doesn't say she be married to another man. It says she is fornicating with another man. That's what it says here. So she is not married to another man. She is fornicating with another man. That's what it says here. This is the aristotle subjunctive of genomai plus the dative singular of on air plus the dative singular of heteros. Now the verb here is genomai. And that's not the verb to be married. G-I-N-O-M-A-I. Genomai. All right, a couple of things on this verb. One, literally, genomai means to come to be or to become. Two, figuratively, it means it is used at the time to belong to another man through fornication. Figuratively, it is used for to belong to another man through fornication. So three, what we have here is fornication, not marriage to another man, but fornicating with another man. So point four, it does not imply marriage to another man. But rather fornication with another man. And then we have heteros. H-E-T-E-R-O-S. Heteros. And heteros means another of a different kind. This is another man. Other than her husband. That's heteros. Another man other than her husband. And then on air again is the man for man. He is a heteros on air. Another man. He is other than her husband. So the corrected translation. So then, if while her husband is living, she fornicates with another man. So then, if while her husband is living, she fornicates with another man, she shall be called an adulteress. She shall be called an adulteress. This is the future active indicative of krematizo plus the predicate nominative of moikalos. Krematizo. C-H-R long E-M-A-T I-Z long O crematizo. Crematizo is God imparting an injunction or warning. God imparting an injunction or a warning. To crematizo means to bear a name, to be named, to be classified. And the warning here, the injunction, she bears the name, she is to be classified as a moikalos. Looks like that in the Greek, M-O-I-C-H-A-L-I-S. Moikalos is the Greek word for adulteress. So the verse 3 says, so then, if while her husband is living, she fornicates with another man, she shall be classified as and adulteress. So then, if while her husband is living, she fornicates with another man, she shall be classified as an adulteress. Now in the rest of verse 3, we get back to the illustration that Paul is using in Romans chapter 7, the spiritual analogy to the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive and current positional truth. But if her husband be dead, it says in the thundering diction of the King James. We have the conjunction death plus the conditional particle aeon plus the nominal singular of on air with the definite article plus the aorist active subjunctive of apo. The post-positive conjunction death. This is a conjunction of contrast, correctly translated. And it sets up a contrast between the problem of adultery with which was going on with among some believers in Rome with the illustration and analogy of the baptism of the Spirit as salvation. And then the conditional particle aeon once again introduces a third class condition. But if, and then we have apothenesco. APOTHNESKO, apothenesco. One apothenesco literally means to die. Two, it is used for physical death when it's used literally. Three, however, in our verse, it's used figuratively. For retroactive positional truth with identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and burial, at that moment of salvation through the baptism of the Spirit. At that moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit identifies you with Jesus Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and his resurrection, ascension, and succession, current positional truth, and apothenesco, in our verse here, is used figuratively for retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial. For this is accomplished by God the Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Spirit at salvation. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. And we studied all about the baptism of the Spirit in Romans chapter 6. Now is the great illustration. So this is accomplished by God the Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Spirit at salvation, faith in Christ. 5. This death is actually divorced because the first husband, the sin nature, is still very alive and living in the body of the believer. So this death is actually divorced because the first husband, the sin nature, is still very much alive and living in the body. So the corrected translation, so then, if while her husband is living, she fornicates with another man, she shall be named or classified as an adulteress. But if her husband has died, she is free from that law. This is the present active indicative of a me plus the nominative singular from the adjective eleutheros plus the prepositional phrase apa plus the genitive singular of nomos and the definite article. Ami is the to be verb. E-I-M-I-A-me, she is. And then we have eleutheros. E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-O-S. Eleutheros. And Eleutheros is used, well, aren't in Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 250, says it is used both as an adjective and also substantively as a noun. As an adjective, eleutheros means free. As a substantive or a noun, eleutheros means freedom, independent. So, one, this describes the result of death or divorce from the first husband, the sin nature through retroactive positional truth. This describes the result of death or divorce from the first husband, the sin nature through retroactive positional truth. Two, after salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer has freedom from the first husband, the sin nature, through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth. After salvation, faith in Christ, the believer has freedom from the first husband, the sin nature, through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth. Three, after salvation, the believer also has freedom from the first marriage counselor of the Mosaic Law. Preposition apa is a preposition of separation. It is separation from someone or something. Separation from the nomos, from the Mosaic Law, as the marriage counselor of the first marriage. Point four. After salvation and marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, the believer has freedom, separation from the Mosaic Law as the marriage counselor of the first marriage. After salvation and marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, the believer has freedom, separation from the Mosaic Law as the marriage counselor of the first marriage. Five, now after salvation, a new marriage counselor comes along to replace the Mosaic Law, and that new marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit. So the verse says, so then, if while her husband is living, she fornicates with another man, she shall be named or classified as an adulteress. But if her husband has died, she is free from the law. so that she is not an adulteress. And that's where we will pick it up next time, so that she is not an adulteress. Now you see, you'll have a whole week. A whole week to have your clock put at the right time so you can get here for the first class. Let's see. All right, with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God, the Holy Spirit, challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and of happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.